Kentucky, land of bourbon, wildcats, cardinals, and of course, horses. Oh, do we have horses?
The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
And for most of us Kentuckians, one day stands alone.
And the final throwing of the Kentucky Derby, and it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses.
And they have taken the lead away from Lionheart. Farther back, it's Limehouse and Imperialism. And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slough in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it.
California Chrome into the final furlong. He's got a five-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
Some might even call it a timeless tradition.
Traveling down the Churchill downstretch in the Kentucky Derby, and here comes the finish. It's going to be Swaps, winning a length and a half.
Coming to the wire, Majestic Prince. They're coming on to the finish, and this is still very close. Majestic Prince is holding on by a head, and he wins it by a head.
You see, every year on the first Saturday in May, the world comes to the Bluegrass. They gaze upon the fabled twin spires in their fancy hats, dresses, and suits, all while sipping an ice-cold mint julep. This is Kentucky's Day, a day to celebrate the greatest 2 minutes in sports, when the very best run for the roses and the right to be counted among horse racing's legends. Welcome to Churchill Downs and the 142nd Kentucky Derby.
Mike Penna, Kurt Becker, Jude Bell, Tom Leach, and Jeff Bloom back with you at Churchill Downs on this Kentucky Derby day. The party continuing here, and we had that bit of a rainstorm blow through just a short time ago. Kurt, that has now given way to some sunny skies here over Churchill Downs. A few clouds still in attendance, but the sun now shining down on those twin spires here at Churchill.
The main track, the dirt track, is still listed fast. The turf course still listed firm. As far as the dirt track for the Kentucky Derby, the track crew has had it packed down very tight. It's been very fast. The footing's been very sure. And whatever rain fell, it's been sunny and warm all day. Most of that rain has evaporated or has rolled off the surface.
One of the great things about Kentucky Derby Day is the fact that it's a day that attracts so many people from the world of sports, so many celebrities, so many actors, so many musicians are here. And they're all on the red carpet, and that is exactly where we find our Rob Simulcare.
All right, Mike, thanks very much. You know, even longtime Derby observers said this was one of the most star-studded red carpets they had seen in quite a while. And you said it, athletes, music stars, actresses, Miss America was even there. You can check out some of the pictures, some of the hats, which, of course, were epic, on our Twitter feed at NBC Sports Radio on Twitter. But talk to everybody. Let's start out with Lady Antebellum, who, of course, we heard sing the national anthem.
We're so excited. You know, any chance we get to sing the anthem, we jump at it. And to be here, such a historic event, we're excited.
Is this your first Derby?
It is for me. Yeah, Hillary's been one time before, but, yeah, this is my first time. I'm just going to try to soak it in and try to make sure I don't have too many drinks.
That's usually a good policy. What about the horses? Any horse you like out there today?
Yeah, we were reading up on it some. We've all got our favorites. I like Whitmore. The jockey won the past 2 years, so if he wins again, he'll make history. So,
that's a great pick. I'm going with my lucky number, number 14, Mo Heyman.
You guys have a great time, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
We're here with the king and queen of the Kentucky Derby, Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're
so
excited.
Fabulous. Okay, and how many derbies is this for you?
This is my third as a broadcaster, my fourth overall.
And how has this experience been? Did you ever think as a figure skater you'd be doing this someday?
Certainly not, but, you know, I grew up around horses in rural Pennsylvania. I rode equestrian show jumping, and I've always loved horses. So to be here, it's really an honor.
Tara, what's the reaction like as you walk around this place now, not just as a former Olympian, but as really a celebrity associated with the Derby?
It's really fun. I mean, we do skating events. We've been to the Olympics many times as skaters and then as broadcasters. But this event, every single year, I look forward to just because it's like a huge party. The energy in the city is insane.
All right. Well, great to see you guys. Have a great day for NBC, and thanks for the time.
Thanks.
We're here with NBC Sports' Chris Collinsworth. Nice to see you at the Derby.
Thank you. It's an exciting time. Now remind me, or have you been here a lot? I feel like I've seen you here last few years.
I have been here because we live in Kentucky. I have a great passion for horse racing. I actually own a piece of a horse, not running in the Derby, but we're having a great, great time. But today is a little bit about horse racing, but a lot about this. You know, it's a show. People come out and just Johnny Weir and feeling as fashion backward as any human being could possibly feel over there. But it's great, great fun, and we love it.
It's impossible to not feel fashion backward hanging out with Johnny and Tara, no question about it. How do you compare an event like this to Super Bowls or other big events you've been a part of, Olympics?
There's more to this. There's still the enormity of the sporting event, but the Super Bowl does not have this fashion component and does not have the passion from women that this event has. So in many ways, this is America kind of letting down their hair a little bit. And I love seeing the ladies here involved in sports the way they are, and they all look beautiful.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Good to see you.
Now, there's absolutely no way that words can do justice to Johnny Weir's hat. It's simply impossible to describe. So I would just tell you to go on our Twitter feed at NBC Sports Radio and check it out. I think Johnny really topped himself this year, Mike.
Johnny, we're always difficult to top when it comes to fashion at any event, but certainly here at the Kentucky Derby. And Chris Collinsworth, former NFL star and now analyst on NBC's Sunday Night Football, just one of many NFL ties to this year's Kentucky Derby, including Tom and Gail Benson, who will be represented by two horses in the field. They own both Mo Tom and Tom's Ready. And for the Bensons, it has been a busy couple of weeks.
With the 12th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Sheldon Rankins, defensive end, Louisville.
And, of course, drafting the defensive end from Louisville, the Bensons. Boy, they love it here, don't they, Kurt? They come here for the Kentucky Derby, and, of course, they come here for their number one draft picks as well.
They do, and they've got two horses in the Derby, both long shots today, Mo Tom and Tom's Ready. But despite being outsiders, there are folks who believe that each of those horses could get a piece of this 142nd run for the Roses.
They only own 8, 25% of the stable running in this year's Kentucky Derby. When we return, Kent and Keith DeSormo from NBC Sports and Westwood One. This is the 2016 Kentucky Derby.
Here comes Exaggerator, mounting a mighty bid around the outside as they turn for home in the million-dollar Santa Anita Derby. And Exaggerator has gone straight past them like they were tied to the rail. At the eighth pole, Exaggerator 5 lengths over Uncle Lino, More Spirit and Dancing Candy. But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby over More Spirit, Uncle Lino and Dancing Candy fourth.
Michael Rona with the call of the Santa Anita Derby. That was at Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California on April 9th. An Exaggerator just annihilating the field that day. It was a powerhouse effort. Kurt Becker, as we were in the commercial break, the Garland of Roses made its way across the track and out onto the infield turf course. Following the Garland of Roses was the Solid Gold Derby Trophy. That is the prize that awaits one thoroughbred in today's Kentucky Derby. Exaggerator, many people thinking he may be the one.
There have been 10 horses that have won the Santa Anita Derby and then have gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. Affirmed, who won the Triple Crown back in 1978. Winning Colors, the filly, who won in 1988. More recently, California Chrome, just a couple of years ago. Conversely, Bob Baffert, who sends out More Spirit today, he's won the Santa Anita Derby 7 times. None of those horses ever won here. 2 runner-ups for him in the Santa Anita Derby. Won this race. More Spirit was runner-up behind Exaggerator.
Quite remarkable. It has been a very productive prep race in recent years. If you recall, you go back to 1989. You had a gap from 1989 when Sunday Silence won it all the way until I'll Have Another in 2012. It was a 23-year gap with the Santa Anita Derby winner not winning the Kentucky Derby. That has all changed.
It has, and all of a sudden now we've seen it happen twice within the last 4 runnings where a horse has turned that double.
All right, Exaggerator, trained by Louisiana native Keith DeSormo. He'll give a leg up to his Hall of Fame brother, Kent DeSormo. And for Kent and older brother Keith, winning the Kentucky Derby together would be, well, somewhat hard to describe.
Should Keith and Kent DeSorbo win the Kentucky Derby with Exaggerator, they would become the first brother jockey-trainer combination to ever accomplish that feat. The DeSorbo brothers have come a long way from their Maurice, Louisiana roots, as Kent explains.
Thinking back to Keith and I in 4-H Club competing with show horses, that was in Maurice, Louisiana, and now we're here on the stage in front of the world to win the Kentucky Derby is truly hard to explain. Pretty crazy.
Like most brothers, there were fights and fun.
We were typical kids growing up, trying to not say the same old cliches that most people do about brotherhood, but we were typical kids, fought and had fun together, played a lot of basketball, believe it or not, but typical brothers.
I wanted to do everything he was doing, and he was constantly trying to get rid of me. That's how we grew up.
Winning the Kentucky Derby for Keith is something three-time winner Kent would love to do.
It would be incredible if I could accomplish this feat for him. It would be surreal. There are no words, really. I mean, you're asking me to explain something that people are going to know emotionally is one of those things like when somebody is born, and when a baby's born, I mean, it's going to be like that.
Keith says each brother has a distinct role in the success of Exaggerator.
Our roles in the preparation of the horse are very unique. And to make it as simple as possible, his job is in 2 minutes. His expertise lies in that 2 minutes of the race. He's the driver. I'm the head of the garage, and it takes 2 years to prepare that horse. So 2 minutes, 2 years. We can't be any further apart in our roles. It's kind of hard to compare.
Exaggerator's Santa Anita victory was indeed a team effort.
It was a powerhouse win, but most of that power is as a result of the pace being way too fast. That's mainly what the Santa Anita Derby was about, along with the fact that he obviously likes the off-going. But I think even if that would have been a dry track, he would have looked the same way with that judge of pace. It was a ditto performance of Texas Red and the Juvenile. Another great judge of pace by Kent.
Whether it's on the racetrack or back at home, they are always the DeSorbo brothers.
I don't know why this question comes up, but they ask if we hang out together. I'm like, I try to be nice, but no. He's a hot wire, and I'm I don't know. How would I describe myself? Laid back. Laid back, hot wire.
Well, for me, he's my philosopher, so I always pick on him and call him the philosopher because he's always got information for me on how to be a better man. So he's my big brother. That's what he is.
The DeSorbo brothers couldn't be any more opposite, as you heard in that piece, and they become just the third brother combo, trainer, jockey, to saddle a horse and compete in the Kentucky Derby.
The prior combos ran off the board, but both had big long shots. Different situation this year. The DeSorbo brothers have the current second choice in the betting, Exaggerator, who's 5-1.
For more on the DeSorbos and all of the horses who have begun to assemble on the backside gap area, which is where the barn area is positioned, let's go out to Jeff Bloom.
Yeah, Mike, I've known the DeSorbo brothers for quite a long time, and you don't attain the level of success that they both have without passion for horse racing. But that's where the similarities end, as you heard during the interview. Kent is definitely a free spirit, wild-moving, motorcycle-riding, sort of crazy, go out there and do whatever you want. And Keith, he's focused on one thing, and that's work and, you know, dedication to looking after his horses. In particular, in this instance, we're talking about Exaggerator, and of course, I am now waiting for Exaggerator to make his move over to what we call the Lucas Gap, and that's where all of the Derby horses are going to be assembled to begin the historic walk over to the saddling paddock for the Derby. The Lucas Gap was named after Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas, who won the Derby 4 times. And where I'm at, the gap's situated right at about the 3/4 pole, which is in the bottom of the turn as you approach the top of the backstretch, and it's the area where the horses enter onto and leave the racetrack from the main backstretch area. An interesting note as well, the Japanese-based horse, Lanny, came out here extremely early. As many derbies as I've been involved with, I've never seen one of the derby horses come out so early, and they've got him walking down almost to the bottom of the 3/4 chute. All the way down at the back of the chute area. You know, an analogy for what I would call this situation that we're standing around in waiting for the horses to assemble, it's almost like a red carpet experience, but for the horses. There's all kinds of people lined up and all kinds of cameras waiting to take pictures of all of the horses that will be making their walk over.
Still to come, the famous walkover, and we'll hear from NBC analyst and Hall of Fame jockey Jerry Bailey. In conjunction with NBC Sports, you're listening to the 2016 Kentucky Derby on Westwood One.
NBC Sports, in conjunction with Horse Racing Radio Network, proudly presents the 142nd Kentucky Derby on Westwood One. Once again, let's head live to Churchill Downs in Louisville and join host Mike Penna.
Welcome back to Churchill Downs here in Louisville and the excitement building as we edge closer to Derby 142, now just 32 minutes away. The horses assembling on the backside gap in just a few moments. They'll begin that walkover and they'll make their way in front of the packed house here at Churchill today. The infield is absolutely jam-packed. You can hardly find a spot to stand in the infield right now. Of course, if you look in the clubhouse area and the grandstand area, all along the box seats are filled. Many of the ladies wearing their fancy hats, many of the gentlemen dressed to the nines, and all of the balconies lined with folks hoping to get a glimpse of all the Derby contenders coming up here in just a little bit. Mike Penna alongside the voice of Keeneland Racecourse, Kurt Becker, Jude Feld and Tom Leach are down below, as is Jeff Bloom and Rob Civilcare. We'll check back in with them in just a little bit. But Kurt Becker, man, when you think about what this moment is like, I mean, you're on the backside gap, you're there, all your friends, all your family, all of the connections of every horse, this is the moment when the nerves and the butterflies start to get to you, and you're about to make one of the greatest walks in all of sports.
And as they begin that walk, they will come onto the main track. They will walk clockwise around that first turn toward the grandstand. As they look off to their right, they'll see that huge throng of race fans on the infield just beyond the grass turf course. If they look to the left, that's where they will see the spectators in closest proximity, in the suites in the first turn, and in the grandstand, and on the apron in front of the grandstand. Everyone will be shouting out, good luck, go get them. Some will call out the horse's name. Some will call out the trainer's name. It's an incredible moment as we build toward the Kentucky Derby.
Well, this was a day that started off with bright sunshine and plenty of blue sky, but all of a sudden, when we came on the air at 5 o'clock Eastern time, those skies turned to dark gray. There was a bit of a rain shower. Didn't really affect the main track. The main track is still listed as fast for the Kentucky Derby. All of a sudden, as quickly as the rain came, it is gone. We are under powder blue skies, a few puffy white clouds, and this racetrack and the Twin Spires just awash in sunshine. For more on what's happening on this Derby day, let's go out to the paddock. We will check in with our Jude Feld.
Well, thanks, Mike. The trainers are beginning that walk over to the paddock, and we'll be talking to some of those guys later as they make their way over here. But Nyquist trainer Doug O'Neill is making that walk with what is affectionately known as Team O'Neill, and it's a historic walk, and it's a lovely walk. Here's more about Team O'Neill.
Team O'Neill is a tour de force. With an all-for-one and one-for-all mentality, Doug O'Neill and his crew are an impressive sight at any racetrack they invade. Assistant trainer Jack Sisterson explains.
It starts at the top, and it's a domino effect down, and Doug sets his standards, and people want to be around Doug. People want to put the best foot forward for Doug. Within the barn, the positive effects, it really comes off on the horses. And Doug's results are proven. Doug comes in the mornings, and he'll make a point to walk around the whole barn and good morning, guys, and fist pump each hot walker and groom. And it's amazing, the grooms and the hot walkers, how hard they want to work for Doug. And it really does rub off on the horses.
Jack also credits owners Paul and Zilla Redham for standing behind Team O'Neill through thick and thin.
Paul and Zilla Redham put a lot of money into this sport and deserve all the success and more that they've had. Whether it's the highs and the lows, they're always 150% behind Doug and the whole team, which gives us the confidence in the world to wake up to work and be around their horses. And, with Paul and Zilla, they make this whole Triple Crown journey just more enjoyable, whether or not it's working hands-on with the horse or whether or not it's at dinner time with them. And we can't thank them enough. And money for us couldn't buy the experience that Paul and Zilla's horses have given to us.
Of course, Nyquist's Triple Crown schedule was formulated by Doug and Team O'Neill.
He had a real strong campaign as a two-year-old, five starts. And when we were successful in the Breeders' Cup, we all sat down like a week after and started mapping out a plan for a three-year-old campaign, with the dream being the Derby and beyond, and thought the San Vicente and the Florida Derby were perfect spots. And what we learned from I'll Have Another was, you know, it does take a beating on them, obviously, you know, three races in a short period of time if you're so lucky to get there. So the thought was, hey, this horse has got such a great foundation from his two-year-old season. Let's try to get two preps. And we're so blessed in Southern California that we don't miss a beat training-wise. So he's got a good foundation in the morning. He'll be afternoon fresh.
Doug couldn't be happier with the way Nyquist has been training for the Kentucky Derby.
But he's had a lot of good gallops. He's had a lot of real stamina. Mile works, kind of the Jude Fell, the Whittingham, the Warren Studi, that kind of mentality.
Both confident and hopeful, Doug and his team know that Derby feeling.
It's been a real smooth journey so far, and hopefully at just short of seven, there'll be a lot of high-fiving. If you're successful, that enthusiasm and excitement and great feeling lasts for weeks. I'm so pumped, I can't wait.
Well, that's Doug O'Neill, a guy that I gave his first job to on the racetrack. We've been friends a long time. He's an outstanding guy, good family guy, and his team is exceptional. Mike, back to you.
Yeah, Doug O'Neill making that walk now, and he's making it with favorite Nyquist, an undefeated horse. He comes here 7-for-7, looking to become the first undefeated two-year-old champion to win the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slough all the way back in 1977, Kurt.
And if you're curious, how many times has an unbeaten horse run in the Kentucky Derby? Since 1930, there have been 26 that have entered this race with an unblemished record. 19 of those 26 have lost. Now, that said, Nyquist, who will go off the post-time favorite, he's got this going for him. He's got the fact that in recent years, this has been a formful race. The favorite has won this race each of the last 3 years. Orb, California Chrome, and American Pharoah. So that's why the connections of Nyquist are hoping that part will bode well.
Hall of Famer Bob Baffert making that walk yet again. Now here's a four-time Kentucky Derby winner. Kurt, the last time he made that walk was 1 year ago, and he did it with his Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah.
He's had four different Derby winners stretched across three different decades. This is a trainer who has had longevity in the sport. He's made the most of it, and he's also a reflective guy. When he went into the Hall of Fame a few years ago, he said it's not just about your record as a Kentucky Derby winning trainer. You also want to look around the room and believe that as a person, you believe in Hall of Fame company, you belong in that Hall of Fame company with all of the others who have gone in before you.
Speaking of Hall of Famers, trainer Steve Asmussen received the news a couple of weeks ago that he will be inducted into Racing's Hall of Fame this August in Saratoga Springs, New York. He is making the walk. He has two horses. He has Louisiana Derby winner Gunrunner, and he has Arkansas Derby winner Creator.
If you want to know why this race holds such a mystique, Steve Asmussen is a great example. He has trained the winners of over 7,000 races in his now Hall of Fame career, but he's never won the Kentucky Derby. He's been runner-up. He's been third. Maybe this is the year he breaks on through and gets to the winner's circle.
All right, let's once again go down to our trackside reporter, Jeff Bloom.
Hey, guys, I'm walking with just a recent inductee to the Hall of Fame, trainer Steve Asmussen, who's got two horses in this year's Kentucky Derby. Steve, how special is this moment?
Oh, extremely. You know, it's a great moment to enjoy with the family. Got my parents here, Julie and the boys. It's just a great opportunity to win the greatest horse race there is.
It's such a hectic scene over at the Lucas Gap waiting to make the walk over. My guess is the butterflies probably went away a little bit now that you're doing the walk and getting ready to saddle these horses.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of build up for the Derby. Both these horses coming off great wins, been thinking about nothing but.
Good luck to you, Steve. Thanks so much. Back to you guys, Mike.
All right, Steve Asmussen making that walk, as are all the connections of all the Derby horses here today. Trainer Kieran McLaughlin, one trainer not making the walk. He will wait out back in the paddock for his horse, Mohaman, to arrive. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Let's go back down trackside to Tom Leach.
Walking with Todd Pletcher, who will saddle Destin and Outwork. Todd, Destin hasn't run in 2 months, but you regularly win big races off similar layoffs. Any reason the Kentucky Derby's any different?
No, you know, I'd like to think it's not. We kind of felt like our best opportunity for the Derby was to not run back in between the Tampa Derby now. He's got a really good foundation, and we're hoping that coming in fresh would be the right way for him.
Destin narrowly beat Outwork in the Tampa Bay Derby in mid-March. Is one improved any more than the other two today?
You know, I'd be really happy with the way both of them have come up to this. They both trained very well. They both got a quality breeze over the track. I'm optimistic that you know, they're both going to handle it.
Good luck. Good luck on getting Derby number two.
Thank you.
He won it with Super Saver in 2010, Mike.
Trainer Todd Pletcher trying to pick up win number two in just a little while. Post time for the Derby, edging ever closer, now just 23 minutes away. We told you the trainer, Kieran McLaughlin, is not making the walk. He suffers from multiple sclerosis. You would never know it to look at him, though. He gets around very, very well, and as he always says, I may have MS, but MS does not have me. And it's a great quote from Kieran, and it speaks to his courage and tenacity, and he's hoping Mohamed has that same tenacity coming up in the Kentucky Derby. When we return, NBC Sports lead analyst and Hall of Fame jockey Jerry Bailey. You'll hear from him in conjunction with NBC Sports. You're listening to the 2016 Kentucky Derby on Westwood One. Oh, it was tight, but it was Grindstone's nose on the line in 1996 right here at Churchill beneath the twin spires. Grindstone and jockey Jerry Bailey denying Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert and Cavaniere their very first Kentucky Derby win. And boy, it was a tough one for Bob to swallow. But as we know, things would turn out pretty well for Bob, and they have for jockey Jerry Bailey as well. Let's go down to Jeff Bloom with more.
Yeah, Mike, Jerry Bailey, of course, one of the most accomplished jockeys in the history of horse racing. In addition to those two Kentucky Derby victories, his resume includes more than 5,800 wins and about $296 million in purses over a 31-year riding career, not to mention those seven Eclipse Awards for Outstanding Jockey. I had a chance to speak with the Hall of Famer and lead analyst for NBC Sports a short time ago. I asked him what's the key strategy for riding in the Kentucky Derby.
The first key is picking the right horse, because as jockeys we have to pick our mounts basically like in January, because with so few preps available nowadays, they're only going to run maybe 2-3 times maximum before they reach Churchill Downs, and we have to commit to them. So that's the first thing, picking the right horse. I won two, but I picked wrong four times. But once you get here, and once your horse gets here healthy, which is a feat in itself, you know, from the gate to the wire, I think the biggest thing for a rider is getting by the stands the first time unscathed, without getting bumped around too much. I don't know if you've ever walked down the streets of New York, you know, around Times Square especially. I mean, you know, you get jostled and you stop and you start and you're worn out. I mean, it's every little bump, you know, every little check that a jockey makes early in the race, even though you have a lot of animal underneath you, it takes its toll. It wears the horse out bit by bit. So the first thing is to get through to the first turn, by the stands the first time, in what I like to call your own little bubble. If you can find a spot where nobody is, if it's only about, quote-unquote, where you want to be in your game plan, that's a win. And then the next problematic point in the race is the far turn, because everybody's starting to move. And those that are moving are starting there, but those that are worn out already, because it happens quickly. The horses that stop, the horses, the pretenders that really don't belong, the horses that don't run true to form, they start stopping right on that far turn. And so you don't want to get caught behind one of those. You want to avoid traffic jams. So those are the two critical parts. Now, if you reach through there, those two points, with no problem, if you have enough horse, you're probably going to win.
What are your thoughts on this year's Derby? Who are the key horses that you think we're going to see crossing that finish line first?
That's the $64 question. I mean, we came in here last year. I was convinced American Pharoah was just really much the best. This year, Nyquist is a legitimate favorite, but I think he's only marginally better than the rest of the field. Slightly, maybe a couple of lengths better. But that's if everything goes his way, you know. And he does make his own luck. So, you know, he's probably going to run true to form. But other than that, I think you can put 10 horses in a hat and draw a name out and not be surprised. And a lot of those are deep, deep closers. Typically, the middle portion of the race is very crowded in the Kentucky Derby. You know, after the fifth place horse, you know, and before the last seven or eight, you have a jam, a log jam. This year, there's about 9 dead closers that have a legitimate chance to win. So, yes, you will have Danzig Gandhi and Nyquist, and even Mohamed and more spirit and outwork up their front. But then you have maybe 2 or 3 in the middle of Brody's Cause, something like that, maybe a Whitmore. And then you have a lot of dead closers way at the back. So it's going to be really exciting to see the front view, and then take your eyes and go all the way to the back to see who starts their run halfway down the backstretch.
The walkover has been completed. The horses find themselves in the paddock, which is out back behind the grandstand, the clubhouse, and those iconic twin spires. Only 14 minutes away from Derby 142. Just ahead, we will head to the paddock for Jude Feld's thoughts and then the call to the post. In conjunction with NBC Sports, you're listening to the 2016 Kentucky Derby on Westwood One. Back at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, where we are just 11 minutes away from post time for the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby. Mike Penna, Kurt Becker, Jude Feld, Tom Leach, Jeff Bloom, and Rob Simulcare bringing you up to the 142nd running. And Kurt, when you think about this moment here, this is a moment when the jockeys begin to make their way from the jocks room through a little bit of a pathway among the patrons, and then they head right into the paddock. And for young jockeys like, say, Florent Giroux, who's making his first start in the Kentucky Derby aboard Gunrunner, and seasoned veterans like Mike Smith, you still get the same butterflies. It doesn't matter.
And if you're curious about those rookie jockeys, only two jockeys in the last 35 years have won this race in their first attempt. Today there are five who are riding in the Derby for the first time. Luis Quiñones on Sudden Breaking News, Florent Giroux on Gunrunner, Brian Hernandez Jr. on Tom's Ready, Junior Alvarado on Mohaman, and Amiciel Jaramillo aboard Majesto.
The sun is shining. The track is fast. Once again, let's head to the paddock and check in with Rob Simulcare and Jude Feld.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We're here in the paddock where we've seen all 20 of these beautiful thoroughbreds come through. They're mostly now in their stalls being saddled. Jude, what has stood out to you?
Well, I'll tell you, Brody's Cause had to wait for about 150 people to walk by before he could continue his walk. And he stood there like a statue and kind of went, what's going on here? I had no idea. But he was very cool, very relaxed. Nyquist, he looks like his usual cool self. Nice, calm, didn't break a sweat. Destin looked a little hot. He's getting a little agitated, a little sweat on his shoulders. And between his legs, he's a little bit nervous.
The 15 horse Outwork just walked by us a little bit again. He was sort of, giving a little resistance, it looked like to me. What did you see there?
Yeah, he was just bouncing, a little jiggy-jogging. He's feeling good. I think he might be a little pumped up from the crowd, but he didn't get hot, which is a good thing.
How hard is it for these horses? You walk into this scene. I mean, the paddock is packed right now. Every person who could fit in here is in this place right now. They're not used to that, I would think, on a typical race. How hard is that to adjust, and what do you do as a minder to keep them calm?
Well, it's a mental game, and a lot of these horses have been in big crowds, but there's nothing like the Derby. We just saw him take the Japanese horse, Lonnie, out to the tunnel to get him away from the other horses. He's a very studdish horse. He's always looking for girlfriends, and so they kept him out in the tunnel area, walking by himself so he wouldn't get any sights or smells of, even perfume sometimes can set him off, which is very unique. So he's out there by himself and handling it quite well, actually.
What do we look for next real fast? The jockeys will be coming out. What will the jockeys try to accomplish between the paddock and the track?
Well, most of the instructions are given. They're just going to say pleasantries to the owners and kiss a few babies, and out they go.
All right. Thank you very much, Jude Feld. Mike, back up to you.
All right, horses in the paddock, as are all of the connections. You heard from trainer Todd Pletcher on the walkover with our Tom Leach. Kurt, Todd Pletcher is sending out one horse in particular. He has two. He has Destin, and he has Wood Memorial winner Outwork. Outwork is owned by Mike Rapoli. Now, Mike Rapoli is the founder of Vitamin Water, but he has been here before. He's been here with his Derby favorite, Uncle Mo, back in 2011. Outwork, a son of Uncle Mo. Things didn't work out so well in 2011. Hoping for better today.
Uncle Mo developed a gastrointestinal tract infection the day before the race and had to be withdrawn from the Derby. But Outwork is named because Mike Rapoli says in the business world, if you want to be successful, you better outwork everybody else.
Well, and of course, you remember when Uncle Mo scratched the day before that 2011 Kentucky Derby. It freed up jockey John Velasquez, and the Hall of Famer picked up the mount on Animal Kingdom, who went on to win the Derby that year.
Thus far, the only victory for John Velasquez in his Hall of Fame career in this Kentucky Derby. We'll see if it'll be John on Outwork or someone else soon.
All right, up next, we'll bring you riders up and the call to the post, as well as, yeah, that rendition of My Old Kentucky Home. From NBC Sports and Westwood One, this is the 2016 Kentucky Derby. All All right, the horse is still out back in the paddock. In just a couple of moments, the call will go out for riders up. New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton assisting paddock judge Sue Brewster with that honor. And the minute they do that, Kurt, the riders will get a leg up from the trainers. They will make about one lap around that back walking ring in the paddock area. They will head out through the tunnel and onto the main track for the post parade. But this is no ordinary post parade, my friend.
No, and as the jockeys came out of the jocks' quarters a while ago, Florent Giroux riding in his first Derby, he almost looked like he was sick to his stomach. His eyes were big around, and he was trying to focus. Others, veterans, ready to go.
They will come onto the track to the playing of my old Kentucky home. It is a grand tradition here at the Kentucky Derby. The University of Louisville marching band is standing by to perform that. Really going to be just an amazing time here. Lonnie, the Japanese horse, has already made his way onto the track. The others still in the tunnel. They are still coming out onto the track now. They will do that here momentarily.
Lonnie, of course, a horse who's known for fractious behavior. He can be a bit high-strung, so they're getting him away from the rest of the crowd so he can relax.
And Travis Stone, the Churchill announcer, will indeed make the announcement here that the horses are coming onto the track. He will introduce the playing of my old Kentucky home from the University of Louisville marching band. And again, there will be very few dry eyes in the house once we finish that rendition. Many of the jockeys will tell you it is one of the most emotional moments. It doesn't matter if you've been here 20 times or if you're just making your debut. This is one of those moments, and one of those moments in all the sports that is very, very special.
And those jockeys at the same time are getting focused, going over their game plan in their mind, getting ready for one of the biggest moments in their careers.
And for Louisville native Dell Romans, this is a special time. Let's listen in as Steve Buttleman calls him to the post.
Ladies and gentlemen, the management staff and horsemen of Churchill Downs proudly present the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby, presented by Yum Brands. Please rise for the playing of My Old Kentucky Home.
Always a very special moment here at the Kentucky Derby, my old Kentucky home. When we come back, you'll hear from Triple Crown winning trainer Bob Baffert, and we'll check the latest odds. And then it's race time. In conjunction with NBC Sports, you're listening to the 2016 Kentucky Derby on Westwood One. The excitement level building to a crescendo here at Churchill Downs as we edge closer to Derby 142, but it's going to be difficult to top that Triple Crown run we saw 1 year ago from American Pharoah. Is there another American Pharoah in this year's field? Well, we won't know that. You got to get by the first one before you can think about being a Triple Crown winner. Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert has won more than 2,600 races in his Hall of Fame career. He is one of only three trainers in history to have saddled four Kentucky Derby winners, including American Pharoah last year. I spoke with Bob and started by asking him if winning the Triple Crown has changed his life.
I don't think it really changed my life because I'd been through it, came so close. I think, you know, the positives of it is that every year when a horse would go for the Triple Crown, I had to painfully watch those brutal losses. They kept showing them over and over, and they called me up, and you know, I had to do interviews about what was it like to lose those and everything else. So, and then to finally win it, it was, you know, I always thought, what would it be like to win? And I remember real quiet, and he turned for home, and he was looked like he was going to do it. And for an instant, I thought, wow, this is what it feels like, you know. And then all of a sudden, it just everything came to an end there at the end. But it was more of a, I was just in awe of the horse. I think it wasn't, I didn't feel like, you know, Bob Baffert won a Triple Crown. We just watched something really special happen. It was about the horse. American Pharoah, you know, made me just realize what a great horse he is. And then not only that, but the crowd noise, the deafening of the crowd noise. My whole body was like just taking all this in, and it was so loud. And I kept saying to myself, this is so loud. Look how loud. And to be part of sports history, that's part of a sports history that will always be remembered. Then all of a sudden this beautiful horse comes by and does this. And still to this day, we're still hoping maybe we'll get another horse like this. You know, I tell people, I think he was a horse of a lifetime for me.
What's it like to be a Triple Crown winning horse trainer?
Well, I went from just quarter horse trainer to thoroughbred trainer, Breeders' Cup winning trainer, then came the Hall of Fame. But I think the Triple Crown trainer sounds the best of all of them. I always felt like, why couldn't it happen? You know, Silver Charm ran a great race, got beat. Real quiet, mile and a half, you get beat an inch, right on the wire. You know, he's in front before the wire, he's in front after the wire. So that's just sort of like, why did that happen? And then War Emblem really didn't get much of a chance. And so after that, I always said, you know, Lord, just give me one more shot at it. I think I got it down. And so, and I did. So I got my shot. So he listened to me, and I just need to ask for one more shot. I'd just like to do it again.
So tell me about coming back to the Kentucky Derby this year.
It's a different vibe. It's a totally different vibe because, you know, it's a wide-open derby. There's some really nice horses in there, a lot of parity. It's still exciting, though. It's still the day when we lead them up there. I think, you know, all those derby juices are going to start rolling again, and you're going to just feel like it. And I think that, you know, I think back about the time when I came here the first time with Cavenier, and I got beat a nose. And I was devastated because I never thought I'd get another chance. I thought, this is it. And so when I came back with Silver Charm, I sort of felt the same way. Like, well, I just got beat. And maybe I can hit the board or something. And then when he turned for home and then he got the lead and this horse was coming. I remember Captain Bodgett was coming. I go, here it goes again. I'm going to get nailed. It's going to be devastating. I thought of all this the last 100 yards. And he held on, you know. And so it was like, you know, wow. You know, now I know what it, you know, I won a derby. And then we came back with Real Quiet. You know, they won again. Then I got to thinking, hey, maybe this is not as difficult as people think it is, you know. But watched a few derbies when I was growing up, but never really, you know, thought of it. You know, to me, my love was quarter horses, but never thought I'd make this journey.
A much different scenario for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert here in 2016. He does send out More Spirit, who will break from post position number 17. In case you're wondering, that is the only post position in Derby history that has never produced a winner 0-37. And maybe that's not such a bad number for Bob Baffert. You remember last year, it had been 37 years in between Triple Crown winners. He broke that streak. Maybe another one coming up here this afternoon at Churchill Downs. It is time to check the latest odds and meet the field for today's race. We begin, of course, with number one. That is Trojan Nation, owned by Julie Gilbert and Aaron Sonis. Patty Gallagher is the trainer, Aaron Greider the jockey.
Trojan Nation 0-6 in his lifetime, but came within a head of winning the Wood Memorial.
41-1, the odds on Trojan Nation. Number two is Sudden Breaking News, owned by Samuel Henderson, trained by Donnie Von Hemel. Luis Quinones aboard.
This is a horse who enters off a runner-up finish last time out in the Arkansas Derby.
Sudden Breaking News, 24-1. Number three, that's Creator, owned by Windstar Farm, trained by Steve Asmussen, Ricardo Santana Jr. in the iron.
Speaking of the Arkansas Derby, Creator, winner of that event at 11-1.
And 16-1 currently. Number four, that is Mo Tom, one of two entrants from GMB Racing in the Derby field. Tom Amos trains, Corey Lannery is aboard.
Mo Tom with a couple of races over the Churchill Downs Strip, including a win last year at two.
And he's a long shot here. He's 25-1. Number five, that's Gunrunner, owned by Winchell Thoroughbreds and Three Chimneys Farm. Steve Asmussen, the trainer. Florent Giroux, the jockey.
Gunrunner with five starts, four wins, including the Louisiana Derby.
And he's 10-1. Number six is My Man Sam. Chad Brown, the trainer for owners Sheep Pond Partners and Newport Stables. Irad Ortiz Jr. is the man aboard.
My Man Sam came from 14th and last to be runner-up in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland.
Currently, the tote board reading 19-1 on My Man Sam. Number seven, Oscar-nominated, racing in the red and white colors of Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Mike Maker Trains' Julian Leperoux rides.
Oscar-nominated won the Spiral Stakes on a synthetic surface at Turfway Park. Today, his first time to run on dirt.
And a big, big price, 40-1 on Oscar-nominated. Number eight, that's Japanese-based Lani, owned by Koji Maeda, trained by Mikio Matsunaga, Yutaka Take in the irons.
Lani has generated enough interest. There is a broadcast crew from Japan, one story above us, getting ready to broadcast the race.
Lani, big price here at 25-1. Number nine, that is Destin. Todd Fletcher trains for owners Twin Creeks Racing Stable and Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, Javier Castellano, the jockey.
Destin won the Tampa Bay Derby in his last start, but that was 56 days ago.
And because of that, he is on the board at 19-1. Number 10 is Whitmore. Ron Moquette is the trainer for owner Robert LaPenta and Harry Rosenblum, along with Southern Spring Stable. Last year's Triple Crown hero, Victor Espinoza, has the assignment here today.
And he rides a horse who comes in off a third-place finish in the Arkansas Derby.
30-1, the odds on Whitmore. Number 11, Exaggerator, Keith DeSormo, the trainer. He'll give a leg up to his Hall of Fame brother, Kent DeSormo. Exaggerator owned by Big Chief Racing and Head of Plains Partners.
And Exaggerator made a big run to win the Santa Anita Derby by six lengths.
Second choice in the wagering of 5-1 is Exaggerator. Number 12, that's Tom's Ready. GMB Racing, the owners. Dallas Stewart, the trainer. Brian Hernandez Jr., the jockey.
This horse was runner-up at 30-1 odds in the Louisiana Derby.
Huge price here, 45-1 on Tom's Ready. Number 13 is your favorite, Nyquist, owned by J. Paul Redham's Redham Racing, trained by Doug O'Neill, ridden by Mario Gutierrez.
His record is unblemished, seven starts, seven wins, including the Florida Derby.
Because of that, he is 2-1 to win this year's Kentucky Derby. Number 14, Mohaman, owned by Shadwell Stable, trained by Lexington, Kentucky native Kieran McLaughlin, Junior Alvarado rides.
Mohaman, five wins and six starts, tries to bounce back from his first career loss.
Getting a little respect, he's on the board at 11-1. Number 15, Outwork, racing in the royal blue and orange colors of Mike Rapoli's Rapoli Stable. Todd Fletcher, the trainer, Hall of Famer John Velasquez gets the leg up this afternoon.
Outwork is 3-4 in his career, including a win in New York in the Wood Memorial.
25-1 is what the tote board shows on Outwork. Number 16, Shagaff, owned by Shadwell Stable, trained by Chad Brown, Joel Rosario aboard.
Shagaff also has three wins and four starts, but finished off the board in his last outing.
And a monster price at 50-1. Number 17 is Michael Lund Peterson's More Spirit. Bob Baffert, your Hall of Fame trainer. Gary Stevens, your Hall of Fame rider.
Seven career starts and More Spirit has never been worse than second.
12-1 on More Spirit. Number 18 is Majesto, owned by Grupo 7C Racing Stable. Legendary Venezuelan trainer Gustavo Delgado will saddle Majesto and Emicio Jaramillo aboard.
Majesto runner-up in the Florida Derby at 21-1.
Yeah, and a huge price here at 50-1 is Majesto. Number 19, that's Brody's Cause, owned by Albaugh Family Stable. Louisville native Dale Romans looking for his first Derby victory. He will saddle Brody's Cause. Gives a leg up to jockey Luis Saez.
This is a colt who came from 11th to win the Toyota Bluegrass at Keeneland.
24-1. And the outside horse is number 20. That is Dancing Candy. Clifford Seiss Jr., the trainer for owners Halo Farms and Jim and Diane Basher. Hall of Famer Mike Smith will handle the reins.
Dancing Candy, your likely pace setter for this year's Kentucky Derby. He loves to go quick right out of the gate.
25-1, the odds on Dancing Candy from that outside post position. And that's the field for the mile and a quarter, Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, a purse of $2 million and the garland of roses on the line. Kurt Becker, this is a massive crowd in attendance here today. We mentioned the record crowd yesterday on Kentucky Oaks Day. Today, the attendance, more than 160,000, 167,227, the second largest Derby crowd in history.
Topped only by last year's crowd of 170,000 race fans. We talked about the fact there were some brief rain showers earlier, but the sun is shining and we're just about set to go.
Yeah, they've begun to load. Let's check in behind the starting gate with our Jeff Bloom.
Yeah, guys, half the field has already loaded and a very uneventful experience for the Japanese-based horse, Lani, who walked around probably calmer than any horses back here and loaded into the gate really well. The one horse completely washed out, Trojan Nation, as they approached the starting gate. The 16 horse, Shagoff, very, very sweaty. I'm alongside the 19 horse, Brody Cause. He's a little bit washed out as well. But for the most part, it's been a very straightforward loading. Back up to you guys.
The last to load is going to be number 20, Dancing Candy, into the outside post position. Hall of Famer Mike Smith will be aboard. That was number 10, Whitmore, who gave a little buck and a kick there as they were loading into line. Just about set to go, the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby. A mile and a quarter, the run for the roses. Let's join NBC announcer Larry Colmus.
Nyquist coming out of stall 13. They're all in line. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Nyquist had a good beginning. Lani, the Japanese colt, is away last. Dancing Candy on the far outside is out well, and so is Gunrunner from the inside. Nyquist between those two. Outwork is close, and then comes Shagoff. And they're followed by More Spirit on the far outside. Whitmore is after that. In between horses is Tom's Ready. Down toward the inside, Oscar Nominated next with one lap to run. And then comes Mahesto, followed by Destin to the inside. Mohaman is racing about 10 lengths off the ladies down on the inside of horses, moving around that turn and right alongside of Brody's Cause. 5 lengths back to My Man Sam, Exaggerator and Kent DeSormo, well off the pace here. And then comes Mo Tom. Lonnie's gone by a few. Creator is next by another 5. Then sudden breaking news. And Trojan Nation, the maiden is last, and the quarter mile was in 45 and 3/5 seconds. And Dancing Candy wings up the backstretch in front, setting a solid pace which could help these late closers here. Dancing Candy in front by 2.5 lengths under Mike Smith, with Gunrunner running in second on the inside. The undefeated Nyquist is right there, third to the outside. Break of another 2 to Outwork in fourth. Victor Espinosa is down on the rail with Whitmore. They're 4.5 lengths off the lead. Then it's Tom's Ready, Destin, and Oscar Nominated on the inside as the field makes their way around the far turn. 3/4 win in 1, 10, and 2. And it is Dancing Candy in front by a neck. And here's Florent Giroux and Gunrunner, and they take the lead on the far turn. Nyquist is right in contention, and he's next to Gunrunner, and then it's a 4-length gap back to Destin, who has rallied into third. Mohaman is coming on two, and they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist. Nyquist has taken the lead on the outside. Gunrunner, second at the rail, 5 lengths back to Destin in third, and they come to the final furlong. Exaggerator is closing in. Nyquist to catch with a 16th to go. Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside. Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby. Exaggerator was second, and then a photo for third among sudden breaking news and Gunrunner. And the final time was swift. 2:01.31, set by a brilliant Nyquist.
Undefeated juvenile champion Nyquist winning Kentucky Derby 142. He becomes the first undefeated 2-year-old champion to take the roses since Seattle Slough in 1977. And Kurt Becker, what an effort.
This is getting to be a familiar pattern. You have a favorite who's got a good stalking style, lays just off the early pace. We've seen that now 3 years in a row. California Chrome, American Pharoah, and now Nyquist to the winner's circle.
Let's head back downstairs trackside to Jude Feld.
Hey, I'm here in the Radom box. Got Doug O'Neill. He's getting big hands.
Jude, I love you. Not in a weird way, but man, it's incredible. It's amazing what a horse can do. Just getting here, I feel like a winner. And what a ride! What a horse! Oh,
it was an exceptional ride, Doug. I mean, you had to be so pleased all the way.
I was, because Mario didn't give Mike Smith an easy lead. He kind of pushed him and made Mike have to really work that second quarter, and that really paid off.
After all the struggles and everything you went through to get here, and now 2 Derby winners, huh? How about that?
Oh, man, it's a Jude Feld, Warren Studi, Whittingham. It's a long gallop, it's a long workouts, and a good horse, of course. I love you, man.
And it's the Doug O'Neill. It's really the Doug O'Neill.
Incredible. These horses are amazing. I'm so privileged to be able to be part of serving them, and that's what we're here for, and it's just an unbelievable feeling.
It's a great day for Doug. It's a great day for me, and back to you guys.
Thank you.
How about this, guys? Doug O'Neill, Redham Racing, Mario Gutierrez. They come here again. They did it in 2012, but I'll have another. Mario Gutierrez, Kurt, he doesn't know what it's like to lose the Kentucky Derby. This is only his second mount. He's won it both times.
He's 2 for 2 so far, and he is loving life today here in Kentucky. This is a horse, Nyquist, who relishes a challenge. When the field was at the top of the stretch with a quarter mile to go, Destin was making a big run behind him. Nyquist let it out another notch. Down the home stretch in the final furlong, Exaggerator coming with a big rush. Nyquist kicked in and hit another gear. This was truly a monster effort from the real deal.
And how about this horse? Every single time that he has gone to the post in his career and the distances have gotten longer like they were today, he has been doubted. People said, you know what? His pedigree won't allow him to get the distance. He's not going to want to run that far. Every time, he has proved them wrong. He did it at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He does it again here today in the Run for the Roses.
There have been so many folks who, they weren't necessarily doubters, they were at least questioners, you might say, who in the weeks leading up to the Kentucky Derby said that very thing. They said, well, I don't know if his pedigree says he wants to stretch out and go a mile and a quarter. Others said, he's not the most impressive workhorse in the mornings. He doesn't overwhelm me. As the saying goes, it doesn't matter what you do in the mornings, it matters what you do at 6:30, 6:45 Eastern time on Kentucky Derby Day.
A spectacular effort from Nyquist. He remains undefeated. Now a perfect 8 for 8 as he storms through Louisville, wins the Kentucky Derby beneath those Fabled Twin Spires. He's making his way back now to the winner's circle with Mario Gutierrez aboard. Now keep in mind, this is the only time all year that Churchill Downs does not use the traditional winner's circle. They have a special winner's circle. It is a horseshoe surrounded with roses, Kurt, and that is exactly where Nyquist will be heading right now. He's going to be draped with the garland of roses that will be placed over his withers, and what a scene here at Churchill.
If you're wondering about that tradition, the Run for the Roses, legend has it that back in the 1880s, track management at Churchill went to a post-derby party, and the party host was handing out roses to the ladies in attendance. The following year, they named the rose the official flower of the Derby, the first official record of a garland of roses being presented to the winner. You have to go back to 1896, a long-standing tradition.
And boy, the favorites have really cleaned up here at Churchill in the Kentucky Derby. 4 consecutive winning favorites. This race never used to be quite so formful. All of a sudden, here we go.
And this is the first time that we have seen the post-time favorite win this race for 4 consecutive years since the late 1970s.
Nyquist wins Kentucky Derby 142. We told you Mario Gutierrez, now a perfect 2 for 2. Doug O'Neill, he picks up his second Kentucky Derby victory. And owners J. Paul Redham and Redham Racing going to see their purple and white colors draped in roses yet again here in 2016.
And Mike, in the last 5 or 6 years that we've been privileged to be part of the broadcast crew for the Derby, I don't know that I recall a longer, more sustained, and louder crowd reaction in that span anyway to a Kentucky Derby winner. This has been absolutely a phenomenal outburst from the crowd.
Let's go downstairs to Tom Leach.
Here with Kent DeSormo, who rode the runner-up Exaggerator. Kent, tell me about your trip. You were flying at the end.
I had a perfect trip until the 3/8 pole. I had to stop him cold. I mean, air brake like an 18-wheeler. I used Jake brakes at the 3.5, and I know it was a difference in 2 lengths, and I honestly, heartfeltly feel like if he makes it to the Preakness, that horse won't beat him.
You expect to go under the Preakness?
I have no idea. Let him cool out. Let's see if he eats his food. And that's the trainer's thing. I just know that he was probably the best horse today.
What were you feeling under you as you were making the run?
A machine. I mean, he was flying. He leveled off a little bit at the 16th pole. But from the 2.5 to the 16th pole, he probably went sub 20, at least 24. That quarter inside there, and that's after traveling 6 furlongs. It's after traveling a mile. So,
you think you had him when you got free?
When I got free, I did. I think I had him. But Nyquist is the champion that he is. He went on enough. None of the rest of them could. And I had an altercation in the race. So,
Kent DeSormo, rider of the Tough Luck runner-up Exaggerator in Derby 142.
Of course, trying to pull it off for his brother, the trainer Keith DeSormo, his older brother. They come up just a little bit short here today. You heard Kent mention the traffic trouble, had to tap on the brakes, and as he put it, it was like stopping a 18-wheeler for a second there, but he gathered the momentum again, came running, and then Kurt throwing down the gauntlet 2 weeks from today in Baltimore, Maryland, in the Preakness, says Nyquist won't beat him if they both go.
We'll see how that all pans out. Sometimes those predictions work, and sometimes they don't. After all, it is horse racing.
Mario Gutierrez now coming back to the winner's circle. He is right down below us, crossing the finish line where he just made history here just a short time ago. He is coming back the other way toward that infield winner's circle. He is being greeted by several of the connections of the horse. He is high-fiving. He's tipping his cap. He has the black gloves on, the purple cap, the white silks with the purple across the middle and some purple on his sleeves. He is now waving both hands up in the air, waving to the crowd. Look, this is a kid who a couple of years ago when he came here with I'll Have Another Kurt was riding in remote Northwest Canada. Nobody ever really heard of him. Hooks up with Doug O'Neill and Redham, and all of a sudden the rest is history. The trophy presentation and a conversation with the winning jockey, Mario Gutierrez, is straight ahead on many of these same stations. For others, thanks for being with us. Nyquist has won the Run for the Roses. From NBC Sports in Westwood One, this is the 2016 Kentucky Derby.